question. How much do you know about Ruth Fisk and Joe Slovo, and how much do you know about them in this war against apartheid? I think I know. I don't know enough. And maybe it's a good thing that, therefore, I'm chatting to Alan Weeder, who's the author of a book called Just That, Ruth Fisk and Joe Slovo in the War Against Apartheid. So Alan is in the Cape Town studio, but it's a privilege to chat to you about this, I think, a very, very important book indeed, Alan. Good chatting to you.
Thanks for having me. It seems appropriate after you ran the story on the news about Bassoon and his dirty tricks that we'd be talking about Ruth Fisk and Joe Slovo this morning.
Indeed, yeah. Let's talk about the title first, Ruth Fisk and Joe Slovo. Why did you put Ruth Fisk first?
That's an interesting part of the question, but actually it's a deeper question, because my original title was Partners with Separate Paths, and that would be and then the rest was going to be the subtitle. And the U.S. publisher, I don't know how Jacana felt, but the U.S. publisher didn't like that, and we went round and round, and publishers decide titles. But I put Ruth first. That sounds pretty strange, because in so many books, it's the other way around, that the man is always thought of first. And although Ruth Fisk and Joe Slovo were very, very different people, they were both so important to the struggle, and I thought that having her first in the title was a change from so many books and so many academic papers where male gender is given a superior position.
Okay, indeed. But any other surprises we're going to find out? Let me invite you to call in, because you certainly can chat to the author directly, Alan Weeder, 0891104207. So what's the one thing that you know, or you in fact don't know, about Joe Slovo and Ruth Fisk? Let's get Ruth Fisk first. And you'd like to ask questions to a person who's obviously done research on that issue. You can SMS to 34701, and if you are tweeting, it's at Ashraf Garda, A-S-H-R-A-F-G-A-R-D-A. You can also tweet to SAFM Radio too. So Alan, let's talk then about the journey, because obviously, you know, the idea is to sort of tease along some aspects of the book, but not tell people everything, because you clearly want to sell books, I'm sure of that, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah. Why did you do the book?
I've been doing work in South Africa since 1999, and it's been mostly with teachers who fought against the apartheid regime. And I'm an oral historian, and as I was doing stuff around 2005, 2006, 2007, it continually astounded me that there wasn't a book on Ruth Fisk or Joe Slovo. There's been books written. There was a master's thesis by Don Pinnock, and Jillian Slovo, the Slovo's daughter, wrote her own memoirs. And then when Joe died in 1995, Helena Dolny, Joe's second wife, posthumously published Joe's, it's called The Unfinished Autobiography. But there wasn't, for lack of a better term, a proper book on both of them. And I thought that how important it would be to have that book for two different, for various people in South Africa and the world. I thought that so many young people really don't know who Ruth Fisk or Joe Slovo was, and they don't know what their substance was. And then for people that were with them in the struggle, for friends, for colleagues, for comrades, and for even for critics, that it was a story to revisit that's so important for the fight against apartheid and also important for South Africa today.
What did you then discover? Because, you're quite right, they were amongst the eminent people involved in the struggle against apartheid. There's no question about that. Ruth Fisk had a very tragic ending, and maybe you can talk to us about that. But ultimately, you know, in doing a book of this sort, there's research that takes place, and there are lots of things that just confirms what you already knew, but there are also discoveries.
Yeah, I think there are discoveries, and what I came to throughout this book, because I did about close 130 interviews approximately. I interviewed 80 people, and some of them were for many, many hours over time. And what I found was one focus about both of them that I thought was really, really special and important to the struggle, and that was that even though they were both had to stay out of South Africa, Joe left in 1963, and he went with J.B. Marx to try to basically talk to the newly independent African states to support the armed struggle against the apartheid regime. And then Ruth was in prison in 1963. In fact, she did a book of that time called 117 Days, which is a very human-spirited book. But both of them, from the time they left, they really, in their hearts and minds and brains, never left. And their whole focus was to get back to South Africa and to lead or to be part of the leadership of the revolution in South Africa. And then there were specific things about both of them that some people know, but I think that I gave substance to, and that is that Ruth First was a person that from the time she was a journalist in South Africa to her work as a writer and academic when she was forced to leave, until the time she was assassinated, and literally up to the moment she was assassinated by agents, South African agents in 1982, always spoke back to power. I can tell you that obviously when she was a journalist for the Guardian newspapers starting in 1946 and then going until she was forced into exile in 1964, she took on the regime. Her most famous work was in Bethel, where she exposed slave labor on the farms. But also she had this ability to speak back to her own comrades, and it sometimes got her in trouble. So, for example, before leaving the country, at one of the ANC conventions, they banned allowing a conservative newspaper called Bantu World at their convention. And Ruth took them on because she reminded them of how The Guardian was so often banned by the government from covering things. And she continued to do that until the time she was assassinated. I mean, there some people that think that the letter bomb that killed her in Maputo in 1982 was meant for Joe. I'm totally convinced that was not the case. I mean, the government tried to kill Joe on a number of occasions, and they didn't succeed. But they killed Ruth because Ruth had just organized a successful conference from people from all over the world, came, and it was a condemnation of apartheid. And they had hoped that the bomb would go off during the conference, but Ruth never went to her mailbox during the conference, even though And so that was, she was still speaking back to power, and they were making a statement that you cannot do that. Joe Slovo, am I going too much? Do you want to?
No, carry on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Joe Slovo was very different. He was trained as a lawyer, and he was important in two very, very big ways. One was that Joe Slovo was willing to talk to anyone. He was willing to have the conversation, which made him a very special type of politician in a belief that went deep into his heart that revolution is a revolution of the people. It's not a revolution of the leaders. But next to that, he became the main strategist of the MK Underground. And as head of special operations, he, with younger comrades, made the plans, made the strategy, did the tactics in forming the bombings of Sasol and the armed propaganda campaign from outside of the country. And people in the camps, I mean, a lot of people speak that Joe Slovo, in his essay, long essay, No Middle Ground, was so attractive to black consciousness youth who left the country in 1976 and went into Angola and into the camps in Angola. And over and over again, people told me how much love they had for Joe Slovo, this what they viewed as an old white Jewish guy who is one of the main leaders of MK.
All right, let me invite opinions, callers, opinions, questions, just evidence, or rather anecdotes as well, just whatever you want to just talk about as we refer, in this case here, to the couple, that's Ruth First and Joe Slovo in the war against apartheid. My guest is Alan Weeder, so you can call into 0891-104207. Gungundwe is saying, currently reading the book, so can the author speak about the animosity between Slovo and Maharaj that he refers to in that book? That's an interesting question. Very topical about Maharaj. Mac Maharaj, of course, now the spokesperson for the president, right?
Yeah, and if they've gotten to that point in the book, I do say that that as much as there was this tension, that there was great respect in terms of what each person did. And it's interesting to me because I think that you can get even a fuller story than my book in these long interviews that are available online that Pedro O'Malley did with Mac, and he did some with Joe also. But I think I read in the book that Helena Dolny says that Joe was very, very respected Mac's work. But they had tension in a number of ways. First coming in Maputo, and I think there was what I view as a false divide between the political section of MK and the military section of MK. And I say it's a false divide because I think that the people actually overlapped tremendously and worked together. And then there would be some people who are not in the book that were in MK that probably know better than I do. But then there were other things that came to a head. And I think Mac was quoted as saying that he had a love-hate affair with the ANC during the struggle. And I think the same thing was true of Mac with Joe Slovo. There were personal issues that I read about in the book that Mac felt that Joe let him down when Mac's wife, Zarina, had a car accident and that he should have been told because Mac was underground in the country at the time during Operation Vula. Mm-hmm. And so he felt that he should have been contacted in a better way during that. There were other issues after 1990, when both men were involved in the new launching of the Communist Party within the country, and then Mac was arrested. What I will say to that, I'm not meaning to go around the bout because I'm saying what I say in the book, but it's interesting to me that when negotiations came, that the two major people working with Cyril Ramaphosa were Joe Slovo and Mac Maharaj.
Yeah.
And in spite of maybe personal animosity, they always worked together within that, and they worked together, obviously, very, very well.
Okay, that's fascinating. Somebody wants to know about just where did it all start in terms of the two, Ruth First and Joe Slovo, meaning their early days. 0891-104-207, if you have any questions, like to know, besides the SMSs, which you said they can send, there are many, 3471. My name is Ashraf Gaunter, and this is the Morning Talk Show. Okay, if you're, this is important for you, besides the discussion on Joe Slovo and Ruth First. The SABC the SABC is inviting potential suppliers to submit proposals for the supply of 2 8-ton trucks. Now, tender documents are available. I'm going to give you the closing date for this is the 2nd of August, and I'm going to give you a contact number. It's 011-714-4764. So 011-714-4764.
Morning Talk on SAFM.
Okay, so we'll talk about the early days as we reflect on this book called Ruth First and Joe Slovo in the War Against Apartheid. It was actually written by Alan Weeder, but also the foreword is by Nadine Godham, and a wonderful foreword, in fact, it really is. Some questions we've got, however, before I get to the callers. Please ask your guests, how did Slovo get his name? That comes from Mahendra, which I think is interesting. I'll ask two more, then you can give the answers in one go, Alan. The struggle of the ANC and its communist partners was about entrenching white supremacy, approved by Mandela in 1994. Slovo brought RDP houses worse than Pervut, comes from, I think it's somebody called Gidz or Hidz. And Mike wants to know, what is Slovo's attitude towards Israel? And did he work with the PLO, and did Gaddafi give the ANC support? Did Slovo get support from the local Jewish leaders? Some interesting questions. Go ahead, Ellen.
A lot of questions. You're going to have to remind me. In terms of the early years, Ruth First was born in South Africa in 1925 and was brought up on the Communist Party. Her father, Julius, and her mother, Tilly, were both members of the Communist Party, the old CPSA. Ruth literally and her brother Ron, younger brother Ron, were taken to meetings at Johannesburg City Hall on the weekends to listen to speeches from the time they were young children. Joe, on the other hand, didn't come to South Africa until he was 10 years old, and he came from Lithuania in Eastern Europe. He spoke only Yiddish when he came. He had a very different history because his mother died 2 years after he came, and he basically went to different rooming houses in Johannesburg, and he got his, he became political in two different ways. He became political because of a teacher that he had before he had to drop out of school, a teacher named O'Mara, who took him to New Left Book meetings and politicized him intellectually. And then at some of the rooming houses, there were old socialists that would have conversations all the time. And that leads to two issues, because one of the things that he saw over and over again, they were old socialists, but they were all, many of them were also racist. But next to that was the question that you brought up, and I think I'm getting out of order, about Israel. Ruth and Joe both had statements during their lives supporting the Palestinians. Joe at a very young age, when he was in World War II, coming back from Israel, when he reflected on it in 1983, many years later, he also talked about the Palestinian people and the lack of freedom for that. On the other side of that, mm-hmm. neither Ruth nor Joe were ever practiced formal Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when Joe came back to the country in 1990, his sister was still here. So he had this other community they hadn't seen in years. And there's two things about Joe Slovo and Judaism. He never stopped supporting Palestine, but at his funeral at the stadium in Soweto, the main speech was by the chief rabbi of South Africa, Harris, and who sort of scolded people for the way that they demonized Joe Slovo during the struggle. And then secondly,
and I could say some people, because of course the demonizing comes from one part of the community, South Africa being so divided. Right?
Yes, but I think he was speaking directly to other Jews in South Africa, which, you know, we're at this is the 50th commemoration of the Rivonia raid, you know, you think about that trial and Jewish lawyers supporting Madiba and the other defendants. And on the other hand, Percy Utar being the prosecutor. So it's very divided in that. But the fun thing and the interesting thing was that after Joe died, one of the eulogies was by Barney Simon of the Market Theater. And Barney Simon said that Joe Slovo wasn't Jewish, he was Yiddish. And then did a whole thing about that God was watching over him because he told such great stories and listened to other people's stories.
That's amazing. Okay, I'll get to, there's a call from Acacia, I think I've lost it. Just call back, I want to get your thoughts, 0891104207. But Mike and Newlands, you have a question, hi?
Hello, that's right, I do. Thanks very much. I'm trying to do some work here and you keep having these interesting shows.
Well, I'm sorry to distract you, but I'm not going to apologize. It's a good distraction. Anyway.
Just a quick question. I haven't read the book, but I intend to do that when I go on holiday soon. It sounds fascinating. My question is, and I've asked this before, are you not, as an author of the book, and I don't know, I don't understand exactly the political side that you, but just as a sort of hate saying myself an aging activist, but, you know, I've been around the block a few times and I fought apartheid in different levels when I was a teenager and a student. And I have to say I'm just so disappointed where we are. It's hard to believe that we have Mac Maharaj, you just mentioned earlier, was in fact Robben Island, and today he sits with huge corruption charges against him. Our president has massive corruption charges against him. How do you, as an author and having done the history, that I do not believe Ruth First, nor do I believe that Joe Slovo would have approved of where we are as a country today, and having briefly met Nelson Mandela not once but twice, I can assure you he definitely wouldn't approve. And what would the author's take be on where we are today when you look at really what an honorable history that we have going backwards when we were all fighting apartheid? Thanks.
Okay, thanks for that, Mike. I'll get more calls as well, further calls. Also, a challenge, Julie, if anybody knew Joe Slovo and Ruth First from the early days when they settled here as kids. I'd love you to share those with us as well. It may not even be in the book, maybe just some new revelation. So just a chance of challenge to you as well as we talk about the two of them through the eyes of the author, really the words of the author, Alan Weeder. Alan, respond to that call.
Yeah, I think as the author, I have to respond to that. Although I think I think South Africans have had Americans and Europeans telling them about things too much in one sense. So when I did a talk last week at Lilith's Leaf, and that was the topic of the talk. But what I said to Nicholas Wolpe, who is the director there, was that what I would do. I agreed that they wouldn't approve today, and I think that numerous South Africans since 2010 have written articles or given lectures about how Ruth and Joe would both disapprove of corruption, of the new laws in terms of censorship, in terms of class disparity that still exists today. And Vavi has written that in the media. So has Jay Naidoo. Helena Dolny has also. And recently, Jackie Cock, who was a professor at Vitz, has also done that in terms of both Ruth and Joe. What I would say was that if you go back and look at Ruth First and Joe Slovo's writings, which we haven't talked about yet, that you would see how they would look at today. That if you looked at Ruth's book, The Barrel of a Gun, where she is...
I'll tell you what you do. Hold that thought, because I want to know what they wrote, and I'm sure so does just about everybody else listening as well. But we'll do that in a minute, because let's get to the news headlines first with Utsile Saku.
Morning Talk on SAFM.
We're going back now to talking about Ruth First and Joe Slovo in the War Against Apartheid. That's the name of the book. It's out now, of course. I'm sure it's countrywide. In fact, written by Alan Weeder. Also, the foreword of the book by Nadine Godimer. So check it out. And some tremendous praise, in fact, to Nadine Godimer, saying a truly remarkable work. So we're chatting to the author right away, and I'm happy to take a couple of calls. Don's asking an interesting question. Before I get to the writings, Alan, what was the relationship between the two?
Between Ruth and Joe?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great question, and I think that I hope that goes throughout the book. They were such different people, and because they were known to have these public arguments, very loud public arguments sometimes, and about politics. So, for example, and I'll use one in 1968 when the Soviet Union marched into Czechoslovakia. Ruth was very outspoken that it was wrong and that they shouldn't march in. And Joe, of course, supported the Soviet Union throughout the struggle, at least publicly, and I think that's important, that he wouldn't question the Soviet Union publicly. And so they had these more than spats in public spaces, and a lot of people have written about them. The same thing was true of their friends Hilda and Rusty Bernstein. And in fact, people have said that they were very uncomfortable when this would take place. I've at least a half a dozen people talked to me about that as I was doing the book. Mm-hmm. That said, there was incredible respect both ways in terms of intellect and in terms of focus. They both knew what the goal was and that they were part of it in different ways. Joe said in 1990, when he wrote Has Socialism Failed, he said it was Ruth that was behind what he had written.
That's interesting. Talk to me then about their writings.
Okay, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but to connect to the last question, Joe wrote this essay called No Middle Ground, which I already mentioned was seen by young black consciousness people as, I don't want to say a Bible of the struggle, but it was a spark to young BC people. But also in that essay, it was a strategy to having to take the struggle back home. And I think that it relates to today, because it was about people on the ground. That's an overused phrase, but I think it's true. That's what the struggle is about. That's what the end of apartheid is about. That's what the end of racism is about. And that was Joe. Ruth's book, The Barrel of the Gun, is so interesting, and it's not the only one of her books interesting for this purpose, but it was so interesting because it was a critique of the newly independent African leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so relevant to the question that was asked earlier about looking to leadership today in South Africa that Mike asked.
Now, Gigi tweeting saying, and if you are tweeting, just tweet to me, at Ashraf Gaza. Ruth First is one of the greatest women heroes of the South African struggle. She intuitively protected her husband. That's an interesting one in terms of what you just said about Joslova earlier on.
Wow, it's very interesting. You know, there, just the other day, and in the book, I spent a lot of time interviewing Paula Jordan, and I'm not going to think of the phrase right now, but he talked about Ruth. Oh, I know, about Ruth being a dissident socialist.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way that I could answer the protection part is that Ruth First's ideas clearly affected both Joe Slovo's writing, the ideas that he had underground, his strategies, and his actions, in spite of them being very different.
Mm. Now, often, you know, and I'm not talking about them directly, but for the critics now of the new South Africa, they all know about the thousands of people who gave up important things in the struggle to dismantle apartheid, and clearly, in this case, Ruth First and Alan and Joe Slovo certainly did so. In Ruth's face, in Ruth's case, of course, it cost her life as well, right? But you get a counter argument from many people that say, "Well, all these people—I'm talking about general—it's a broad stroke statement—they're all opportunists. They had a purpose. They just wanted to get power, and that was it." Give us an insight into their, you know, ethically, what were they like as people?
I mean, the phrase with Ruth First was always, she doesn't suffer fools. You know, she doesn't suffer fools. But I think there's one aspect of their lives, from my perspective, that I think kind of is a counterpoint to what you just said. That both of these people throughout their lives were always mentors to younger people. And not only were they mentors, Ruth started at the Guardian newspaper, and she mentored young black journalists and worked with them directly, so that they were equals, and they had articles and they had bylines, and she continued that in England as a professor at Durham University, and then even more so in Maputo, where this huge research center. I don't mean huge in size, but I mean in terms of what their goals were. And she was always mentoring younger people to be part of it. Joe did the same thing. He always, from the time he was still in South Africa to the time underground and then back in the country, he always had younger comrades that he nurtured, he taught, but he didn't micromanage. He trusted them to do the job. And I think that's a part of both of these people that stands out, that talks to both their hearts and their minds. I can't speak to power. I think Joe was a politician, but I think he was a politician. Some people would disagree, in the best of ways.
Okay. Lots more. Well, not more. We've got about probably 2 more minutes. We're going to ask So the last Ellen Weeder, what's, you know, 2-3 of the most important things that we don't know about both of them that he'd like to share with us anyway. But you need to get the book, of course, Ruth First and Joe Slovo in the War Against Apartheid.
Are you a lover of the finer things in life? Do you have a passion for music, visual art, theatre, cinema, literature and good food? Then Classic Feel magazine is essential reading for you. Published monthly, Classic Feel is South Africa's number one arts, culture and lifestyle magazine. Get the latest issue of Classic Feel magazine now at selected newsagents and bookshops. Find out more at www.classicfeel.co.za.
Now, the SABC in the Eastern Cape have a position available for an HR administrator that will render administrative support to the HR department in the province. What I suggest, the closing date, it's pretty soon, but I'm going to give you an email address. In fact, it's mailekin, mailekin at sabc.co.za. Contact them with your CV and you'll get a response.
Morning Talk on SAFM.
Right, so 3 more minutes or so with Alan Weeder, the author of the book Ruth First and Joe Slovo in the War Against Apartheid. Alan, the question, you know, are there things that are not known that obviously came through in your research? Like, wow, these are just fascinating.
Yeah, and they're not political, actually.
Yeah. I was hoping not, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things, as we've already said, Ruth was known as being somewhat fierce.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when you talk to people who knew her starting in childhood and then going all the way till the time that she was assassinated, you find this human side of her. So, for example, people would talk about Joe's humor, that his humor was amazing, and he was an amazing storyteller, and he could do voices. But Myrtle Berman, who was friends with Ruth in what would be now called a middle school, and then was friends with her through the exile years in England until Ruth went to Maputo, talks about Ruth having a great sense of humor and really, really liking stories. Maybe not Joe's, but other stories. But the big thing about Ruth first was her generosity. And people talked about that to me in various ways. For example, a couple comes into exile and moves to London. And Ruth first is the one that helps them get settled and finds them furniture and finds them medical doctors and on and on and on. In Maputo, Ruth first was a person, if some of her younger comrades had children, she would always bring clothes back for the children from London. To people in London, she would always be taking gifts from Maputo. So that was the side of her that I certainly didn't know. Her friends did, but the general public wouldn't have known. In terms of Joe Slevo, people have to read the book on this, but there's a long section of he and Ronnie Casserolls in the camp, deeply in the camp in Angola, and on Saturday afternoon, listening to British football and taking it very seriously and being depressed if their team lost.
And who were their teams, do you know?
Yes, I do. Ronnie's team was Arsenal.
Okay.
And Joe's team was Chelsea, but his team was Chelsea because the ex-editor of Drum magazine, Sylvester Stain, who also went into exile in London, had season tickets to Chelsea, and he would take Joe to games. So that's how that came about.
Okay, that's fascinating. Arsenal, maybe obvious firepower because they were out in arms struggle. I can understand that. Chelsea, I wonder what do you think about Roman Abramovich in charge now?
No kidding.
Complete contradiction in terms of the SACP. Right, couple of things just very quickly, and we've got about a minute to go. The impact, the book's just been launched, and I presume it's obviously available countrywide, isn't it?
Yeah, it's available in every bookstore that I've seen. We were in Johannesburg and now obviously Cape Town, and it's very available in the bookstores. It's available through Jacana. And I'm going to be doing a few more things in the next week. If I can mention them, that would be great.
Okay, briefly, quickly.
Yeah, I'm going to do. I have a seminar in the Humanities Building tomorrow at UCT at 1 o'clock, and then on Thursday there's a launch in PE at Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, and Fieldmore Matiko, who was one of the MK leaders, is the respondent, and then Bloemfontein at UFS, and then finally, on the 29th in Cape Town at Clark's Bookstore, Albie Sachs will be my respondent.
Okay, great.
So, sorry about that.
No, it's fine. So, okay, in 10 seconds, and this is like a sales pitch here for you. So people listening are saying, okay, this is a great story. I know these people. Should I buy the book? Shouldn't I? I don't know. It's going to cost me some money. Do I have the time? So what's your sales pitch? Why should they buy this book?
They should buy this book because it's the human and political story of two of the most important leaders in the fight against apartheid. And it's stories that they should read to their children, and their grandchildren should know about it too.
Okay, that's a good way to live it. Leave stories for your children called Ruth First and Joe Slovo in the War Against Apartheid from Alan Weeder. Alan, great chatting to you indeed, and hopefully we'll meet up soon as well. And I'll certainly read the book.
Thank
to myself
so
first, and then to my children maybe.
I love being here. Thank you.
Good stuff. There you are, Alan Weeder. Ruth First and Joe Slovo in the War Against Apartheid. Lots more to come. But what about the book reading?